You are now listening to The Griot's Black Podcast Network, Black Culture Amplified.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of The Griot Daily, the only podcast that will tell you that white people really don't vote against their economic interests. They vote for the lies that they've been led to believe about their economic interests. I'm Michael Harriet, world-famous white peopleologist, and this is The Griot Daily. You said this earlier, right? Like, you know, that lie where people, we believe that people are, you know, poor white people are voting against their own interests. And we say the same thing about, like, the Christians, right? But the reality is they have been fooled to believe that their interests are different, that like they feel like if I don't vote for, you know, universal health care, then something might happen to my health care. If I don't vote for a living, if I object to a living wage, it's because it hurts business, which will hurt the economy. So they've been fooled that their interests don't align with the interests that help poor people. This is what I want you to come in and answer the question. How do we make that moral argument and combine it with the economic and the political arguments to show them the truth?
Well, see, I partly I don't ever separate them. A moral argument is an economic argument. Where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. Where your treasure is, your heart. We've created so many false dichotomies. You know, economics used to be studied only under the heading of moral philosophy. It was not a standalone study, even in academia. The point I'm trying to make is you do it what I'm doing. You do public sermons, you organize folk, you get data. I'm doing a national sermon, but every pulpit in America ought to be doing it. And I hope they will. Every pastor, every rabbi, we ought to be talking about this. We don't have to endorse from our pulpit and violate the law. But we can certainly preach the truth. And the truth is there are more than 2,000 scriptures in the Bible that instruct us as nations on how we should treat the poor, the least of these, the hurting, the sick, the women, and the children. And we make the case by making it, not just leaving it in the Bible as ancient, but bring it to today. So who are the poor today? If Jesus said, preach good news to the poor, who are the poor today? The poor are those folk that don't make the living wages, don't have the health care. What's the cost of it? As Joseph Stiglitz said, the Nobel Peace Prize economist, he said the wrong question is being asked, not what will it cost us to fix it, but how much is it costing us not to fix it? $1 trillion a year we lose because of child poverty. And we could end child poverty tomorrow by redirecting 2% of the federal budget toward programs that work and taking something like child income tax credit that could end 60% of poverty among children. We could end low wages. And not only would we end low wages, the Nobel Peace Prize economists have proven it would not hurt the businesses. It would not hurt prices. In fact, it would pump over $330 billion into the economy. We have to tell the truth that inflation is kept alive whenever you cut taxes for the wealthy, allow them to have more money to push into the economy, and then you keep wages low. Those two things actually fuel inflation and fuel economic problems. So we have to hold, as you say, the Bible in one hand, the newspaper in the other hand, data in the other hand, data preach it, data go into the streets. You know, in the Poor People's Campaign, we are contacting and moving 5 million voters, poor, low-wealth voters in 15 states across this nation. We've been touching them and texting them and calling them and moving them and letting them know what their power is. There's a place in which, I think there's a scripture that says, cry loud and spare not. We cannot be silent. In fact, when we had about 150,000 people on June 18th for the Mass Poor People's Low-Wage Workers Assembly Moral March on Washington and to the polls and millions online, poor and low-wealth people of every race, creed, color, and sexuality said, we're not going to be silent anymore. And one of the ways you don't be silent in this society is you must engage at the ballot. You must make a sound at the ballot. And lastly, Doc, you know, when people say, well, Christians, we have to be careful. For instance, I'm an evangelical. But I'm not a white evangelical or an evangelical that believes that God is against abortion, for tax cuts, for cutting living wages, and for the Republican Party, and for extremism. I'm not that. I'm an evangelical that believes what Jesus said when he preached evangelism: good news to the poor, healing to the brokenhearted, recovery of sight to the blind. So a lot of this language, Doc, has been stolen. You know, people get this, I'm for family and freedom. Well, what do you mean? How are you against living wages if you're for family and freedom? How are you for a woman being raped and somebody committing incest against her and she still has to have the baby? And then when she had the baby, you're not going to make sure the baby has any health care and public education. You have to frontally take this stuff on. And that's one of the reasons why I'm doing a Pope national sermon as a model that it ought to be happening all across the country. And pastors that hear this on the griot, there's no violation of the law if you preach the truth. Now, you can't get in your pulpit and endorse on behalf of your church. That's wrong. But if you can't preach the truth, if you can't say that we don't have a lack of resources in this country or a lack of policy possibilities to change these realities, we have a lack of consciousness. If you can't preach the truth and tell people that voting is first and foremost a God gift, it's not something America gave you. From the very founding and creation, God gave us the right to choose. If you can't preach the truth that it doesn't have, we don't have to have a country where 400 families make an average of $97,000 an hour while people get arrested simply for fighting for $15 an hour. It's time to cry loud, speak the truth. And as Dr. King said years ago, silence in this moment would be betrayal. So speak the truth, organize in the streets and on the back roads, and don't go to poor communities, please, and say vote. Invite them into a movement. And then lastly, politicians that read or hear this from the griot, if you can't say the name of the poor, if you can't call out these conditions, if you're too scared to say if you get elected, you're going to pass living wages and health care, then that means that you're willing to ignore 43% of this nation, because 43% of the adults are poor and low wealth, 52% of the children. That is constitutionally indefensible. It is politically inept. It is morally indefensible as well, but more importantly, it's economically insane. We cannot keep writing off almost 50% of the population from our political discourse and our political policies. But the flip side is true. If we lift from the bottom, everybody rises. And we've told Paul, vet the agenda of the Poor People's Campaign, repair the breach, not from a Democrat perspective or Republican. Economists have looked at this agenda and they have said, the Economic Policy Institute, that the agenda we have pushed forward as it relates to addressing systemic racism, addressing systemic poverty, ecological devastation, denial of healthcare, the war economy, is in fact the right agenda for the lifting of the whole society to where we ought to be.
Right. Like, you know, one of the things we talk about on this podcast a lot is, like, literally our last episode we recorded was asking Christians to vote like a Christian. Asking conservatives to vote like conservatives, like they want the government out of their business, right? Well, I want to thank you for coming. We'll all be watching on Sunday, and I want to thank you for all the work you've done for all of our people over all of these years.
Thank you so much. God bless you. Forward together, not one step back. Forward together, not one step back.
All right, you have a great day. I want to thank Reverend Barber for taking his time to come on the Griot Daily. You know, he's actually a griot. You know, when you think about what a griot is, it is a person who uses our oral ability and our oral gifts to inform the people of the truth. And he is a perfect example of one of the many ways that a person can be a griot. I want to thank him for coming on. I want to thank him for educating us. And I want to remind you to download that Griot app. I really like to call it the streaming service, right? Because, like, just download it one time, check it out, and you'll be amazed at how incredible it is. I want you to subscribe. I want you to tell a friend about this podcast. and about that app. I mean, for real, yo, check it out. Like, I am always amazed every time. Like, if you like old black movies, if you like black cinema, if you like, if you live in a majority black city, in almost any black majority city in America, you can watch your actual local news on the Griot streaming service. You can, you know, check out some funny movies and just download it. And again, we always leave you with a black saying, but you know what? We're not gonna do it today. We're gonna let Reverend Barber give you a black saying. So here he goes.
In this moment, I'm gonna go back to what I said Martin Luther King said at the on the steps of the Alabama State House under the threat of being killed right after they had marched from Selma to Montgomery. And he said that the threat of the masses of poor Negro and the masses of poor white people coming together and voting in a way that would create a voting block that could redesign the economic architecture of this country is the great fear of the Southern and the greedy aristocracy. I add to his statement, let's realize their fear.
If you liked what you heard, please give us a 5-star review, download the Griot app, subscribe to the show, and share it with everyone you know. Please email all questions, suggestions, and compliments to podcasts@thegriot.com.
You are now listening to The Griot's Black Podcast Network, Black Culture Amplified.